the other letters, and it references a 100-megawatt project of 52 turbines. Do you remember when this was changed, and are they aware of that, that we're talking about 150 megawatts?
Okay. This was changed, and I think I don't remember the date of that original correspondence from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service.
It was like in May of 2008.
Okay. And ultimately, as is sometimes common with wind energy projects, there needs to be a decision made when you go into permitting of how big the wind project is actually going to be. And so we submitted the original application to the North Dakota PSC in October of 2008. The Fish and Wildlife Service commented in May of 2008. I believe the decision to go to 150 megawatts was made in about August of 2008. And the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is aware now that it's 150 megawatts proposed. We could have worked a little bit more closely with them to kind of clarify some of the things in the past, and we're working to clarify more of them in the future.
And thank you for that. That's my main concern, is I just want to make sure that they're not operating under a different assumption, so as long as that's clarified. Also, it does seem to me that in looking at the cultural and natural resource information that you've provided, there's probably a lot more potential than there is existing, whether it's, you know, archaeological sites or whatever. But my question would be, during construction, since we are in a culturally rich part of even of a culturally rich state, what is the mode of operation should a construction crew come across, say, a burial site, for example, or a sensitive cultural or natural resource?
If they were to come across something like a burial site, the federal and state laws require that they stop construction immediately and notify the historical agency authorities.
Then just one other question, if I might, Your Honor. I noticed that one of the agencies that you wrote to and who responded was the Indian Affairs Commission. The Indian Affairs Commissioner, I think, forwarded your request to the Turtle Mountain Band Chippewa Preservation Office. Have you ever heard back from them? Because I did not find correspondence.
Have not heard back from them.
Have you had any consultation with the tribe at all?
We attempted to contact them because we knew that they would be, for practical purposes, a neighbor to the project. And so early in 2007-2008, we attempted to contact them, but we did not receive a response in response to those attempts either.
Very well. I have nothing further, Your Honor.
Thank you, Commissioner Kramer. Commissioner Kalk, please.
Thank you for your testimony. A couple questions on the Appendix C4 is noise assessment prepared for Towner County.
Uh-huh.
That's just, I assume that's for Towner as well as Rolette County. They did the whole thing, right?
Well, that was specifically directed at Towner County because initially the project included turbines located in Towner County, and Towner County had some specific noise requirement language in their zoning ordinance, and so we wanted to clarify that up front. So in answer to your question, that assessment was an initial assessment specifically prepared for Towner County and was not necessarily directly applicable to Rolette County. And I would consider the noise information that we now have more current and up to date.
So is there anything particular that led the decision process to no longer put those wind turbines in Towner County? I mean, what prompted the decision of initially we're going to put turbines there, and then now there's not any in town or county?
There were a couple different things. Basically, three factors. One, mitigation and avoidance of natural resource impacts. Two is the extent of the project footprint, that making a more compact design made it more, it'll be more efficient to construct. So that there's some things economically that work more efficiently if there's fewer miles of roadways, fewer miles of cables, and there's actually less environmental impact when it's done that way too. And then third, when we reconfigured the project layout, it also provided an opportunity, because it was done concurrent with the avian field survey, to select turbine locations that were located at least a quarter mile from known raptor nests.
Okay. So is the footprint maybe changed a little bit? That might have been some of the driving the decision.
Yeah, the footprint changed. We made it more compact, and we found ways to use that to minimize natural resource impacts at the same time.
Okay. Maybe I would, John, one more question. You talked a little bit about an FAA certificate, and previous question I asked was about the airport zoning, and I understand that the zoning says 372 feet tall within that area, but my instinct tells me that when they set up that zoning, it was for stationary objects that didn't have a lot of turbulence. We've got some wind turbines that are slated right outside that area that, while they are not in that area, you'd think that turbulence from a wind turbine could have effect to an aircraft. Does that FAA certificate, what does that provide us? Because the concern that I would have is that we might be meeting the local zoning for the height, but we don't know the effect of the turbine turbulence as the aircraft comes in.
I can't speak directly to the turbulence issue, and I don't know whether the Federal Aviation Administration determination of no hazard would address any kind of turbulence issue either. So I think.
When the FAA gives you a certificate, you must give them. What do you give them for them to review prior to you give them the whole package of everything?
What we give them is a turbine lighting plan and mapped coordinates of where the turbines will be located.
Okay.
The elevation on the ground where the turbines will be located, and the turbine height at the tip of the blade. And that information is all submitted to the Federal Aviation Administration electronically, and then they reply it roughly, I think, 60 days, 60 to 90 days, something like that, after that submission.
Okay. And then when will you submit them all your choices, even to include the alternatives, I'm sure?
Yes.
Okay. That's all that I'd have.
Anything you want in further in regard to turbulence? Or?
No, I don't think so. If you give them everything that it sounds like you did, they would, I would assume, take that into consideration. That's something that I feel comfortable with. Okay. If the FAA gives that certificate that says no problems.
Okay.
Thank you, Commissioner Kalk. Commissioner Clark, please.
Just a real quick follow-up. We had a brief conversation about Shadow Flicker when I was asking some questions, and it occurred to me that we were probably talking a little bit in wind energy industry jargon, and just so that we have the record clear, could you just describe what Shadow Flicker is and why, generally speaking, it's something that we try to avoid as far
sure.
as impact on residences?
It's when the wind turbine blades move, you know, and the sun's at a certain angle, basically there's the blades pass in front of the sun, there's a shadow, they pass away from the path of the sun, there's no shadow, and so basically the shadow flickers as a result of the turbine blades providing a shadow, and then no shadow, shadow, no shadow. So what the shadow flicker analysis does is it provides a footprint based on the angle of the sun where that shadow flicker pattern occurs on the ground.
Okay, thanks. And generally speaking, residences would prefer to have less flicker than more, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I would assume that's the case. I mean, I haven't experienced that myself, but, I mean, if you're having a picnic, you might want to sit in the shade or the sun, but maybe not both intermittently.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Clark. Any further questions, commissioners? No? No? Okay. Thank you. Mr. Morrison, do you have any further questions of Mr. Bote?
I'm going to have Mr. Bote identify one additional exhibit just to make sure we have a complete record. Rob, I'll show you what we've marked as Exhibit 9, and can you tell me what this is?
Well, we've already have late filed Exhibit 9,
okay.
So maybe
we'll call this 10?
10, yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I've been remarked as Exhibit 10.
So Exhibit 10 is the response to the information request on the Border Winds Energy Project dated April 22nd, 2009, submitted to Mr. Jerry Lean at the North Dakota Public Service Commission. And this is a document that includes a number of attachments and addresses a number of clarifications that Mr. Lean of the PSC staff requested.
And it's primarily being submitted to address some of the noise issues that we talked about, but just make sure we have all those noise studies in the record.
Do the commissioners all have copies of that?
I believe it's commission docket number 12.
Yes.
Docket 12. Okay. Thank you. Any objection to Exhibit 10?
No objection.
Exhibit 10 is admitted. Thank you, Mr. Morrison. Any further questions of Mr. Bote? Ms. Bendish? No further questions. Thank you, Mr. Bote.
You're welcome.
All right. Anything further to present to the commission, Mr. Morrison?
We have nothing further this time.
All right. Thank you. I think for the benefit of the court reporter, it might be a good idea to have a 10-minute recess here. It looks like it's 5 minutes after 12, strictly 10 minutes. But before we do recess, I want to see a show of hands again. The commission has been encouraging public testimony. Is anyone else? We had the one gentleman. Anyone else that wishes to present testimony today? If I could maybe see a hand. No? Just the one?
We relish the opportunity to cross-examine a legislator.
It's our one and only.
Oh, rare Merle.
Okay, sign up sheet. Does everybody sign the attendance sheet? We got that there. Anybody that hasn't signed it? Maybe we could pass it down to that gentleman, please. Okay. We're going to finish before we go adjourn for lunch here. So we'll just take strictly a 10-minute. Back at 12:15, we're going to start again. So we'll stand recess till then.
Sure.